is Wyman and Bob.
On Seattle Sports Station. Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome in, everybody. It is that time here with Wyman and Bob. Every day we talk to a member of your Seattle Seahawks, and pleasure to speak to this guy, one of the nicer guys on this day. They're all nice guys, but he's one of our favorites to talk to. He's with us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Running back Rashad Penny is with us. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, and you guys?
We're good. We appreciate you taking time, as always, and just want to get a feel from you, not on the season so far for the team yet, but just you individually. You signed a new deal in the offseason. You had such a great end to last season, and everybody sort of pointed to Adrian Peterson and words of wisdom and the impact he had. What is that overblown, or do you look at that and say, you know what, that was a turning point for me?
I mean, definitely it was a cool moment. Having a legend in the room and, you know, him just being there, his presence and the way he worked and the way you go about things, you always get to learn from guys like that. But I always had confidence in my abilities and always trust in what I could do. I mean, again, the hardest part was me always just making it to Sundays. I've been playing football for so long that, you know, I know, you know, what I can do. And, you know, I had that injury problem, and really it was just my knee, and it was just me overcoming and getting back into like football shape. And, you know, having small strains was kind of annoying, but I mean, you know, he was definitely one of the like great guys I got to work with. And you know, obviously being here with Chris Carson, you know, that made me who I am today. You know, watching how he ran for 4 years and watching the way he attacked different things was, you know, probably the best thing that I've gotten. And then running back coach Chad playing a great role of teaching technique and teaching me how to become, you know, an elite running back at this level. So, you know, I had a lot of factors as why I'm the runner I am today now.
Well, Rashad, you had some great cuts yesterday. Just loved watching it. The one thing that I commented on during the broadcast was I loved how you finished some of the plays. I mean, you were putting your head down and bowling guys over, you know, being really physical. Was that something that you went?
You know, I just tend to try to run by people majority of the time because I feel like I got the speed to do it. But, yeah, just something to show the defense that, you know, I can put my head down, put my shoulders down, and, you know, run through our tackles and, you know, just try to be physical at the point to set a tone that, you know, to get this run game going. Like, for me personally, I just feel like I don't want to, like, last year to be no fluke. You know, what I did last year wasn't no fluke. And that I am an elite runner, and, you know, I could be one of the elite runners in this league. And that's what my personal goal is. But at the end of the day, I always want to win because I'm so competitive. And I know it's early in the season. I know we're still getting things going on offense. But, I mean, yesterday was just a positive sign of what we can do. And, you know, yeah, I love, you know, to get the ball more, this and that. But at the end of the day, I'm here exciting as well. So, you know, we just keep competing every day, and I feel like, you know, eventually it takes off.
You know, Rashad, it's amazing. This is your fifth season in the league, and you're only 26 years old. So, I mean, you're still such a young guy, but you're already 5 years into your career, which, you know, I guess you're the grizzled veteran in that room. So do you feel that way? Do you feel like, hey, let me talk to Ken Walker? Let me tell these guys, DJ Dallas, and these guys, you know, sort of what they're in store for it. Are you sort of the wily veteran there?
I mean, not really. I mean, I still don't talk as much, but, you know, me being here for so long and being with a lot of good running backs and, you know, a lot of good leaders here, you know, I try to, like, you know, give them little small talks about, you know, what I've learned just being here in this organization. The one thing is, like, you know, it's not about how you start, it's always about how you finish. And that's kind of something that, you know, implemented in my head since being here. You know, just always hearing that, you know, and you'll see the outcomes that we usually win games like the last few weeks, which is like pretty ironic. But yeah, just me just being a leader by example, showing that, you know, I'm coming to work every day to, you know, just continue to compete and do the little things to just be one of the most elite runners in the league. And just always competing against the guys behind me or in front of me. I always never look at things of being solidified. I always play with a chip and edge on my shoulder because that's just how I got to be. And, you know, I think the injuries is really what set me back from where I was then now. So I'm just blessed and thankful I get to end every game healthy.
Hey, Rashad, is there pressure being a first rounder, or does after a couple of years on the team, does that kind of go away? Does it kind of dissipate after a while, or is there kind of that stigma sort of following you around if you're a first rounder?
At first, my first year, like, I always tried to live up to everybody else's expectations of what they wanted to see me do, and I really didn't see my goals and what I actually set out to be. And I just let a lot of media distract me from who I was as a person and a football player. And you sometimes tend to forget when, you know, you get talked about constantly and you're not even used to it. And it's just like, dang, am I really this bad? Or this is just fantasy owners talking who are upset because of what happened the week. And that's something that's the one I'm still like going through today. Like, you know, I got people who are mad about a fantasy, which I honestly don't care about. Because it's not, you know, my like ruling or judgment for it, but you know, I touche to them. But yeah, that's just something I learned. You know, social media can be evil. It can be, you can have good things when you're playing well, and then when you're not playing well, you see the things that people say. I think, you know, a lot of people forget, again, we're human, and you know, that this is part of the sport we play. So I've finally learned that, you know, I just block out the noise and just play football, and that's because that's all I'm here to do. I'm not here to get in a back and forth battle with people on the internet or anything.
So Rashad, it's only three games into the season, so probably hard to tell at this point, but do you have a feel for the offense? Do you feel like, okay, this, I get a sense of what it's going to be like? Is it still in your mind a work in progress? It feels like the offense is definitely ahead of where the defense is currently, but do you feel like you guys are close, or do you feel like we're just scratching the surface?
Oh man, I think we're close. I mean, like I said, then again, I really feel like, you know, us as the running backs really want to be, you know, key factors, because I feel we have the ability to take over a game or win a game like yesterday, you know, with Geno having an amazing game and how he's been playing lately. You know, I just want things for us as the running backs to just keep going, knowing that, you know, we got another week to play, and our offense is only getting started. I think yesterday was the best we looked, just because we're able to establish the run and then, you know, have the big playability with DK and then Tyler and then our tight ends. You know, I think we have everything. The O-line is amazing. I think when we finally start trusting it and the guys started believing in it, I think we'll be a very, very unstoppable team as far as running the ball in the future.
Tell us about Geno and his leadership. Have you seen, because you've been here about the same time as that he's been here, are you seeing something different from him? I mean, when they put him in charge, he's the guy. Has he become a different player, you think?
Like, not really, because, like, when Geno was here playing, like, scout team, when Russ was here, you see the same Geno. He was always making the right reads, and he was always making the right throws. It's no different than what he's been doing from then to now. And I mean, you know, obviously he's starting and he's in a higher role, and you know, a lot of eyes are more on him. But man, Gino's doing everything that we really need him to do to win ball games. I just wish we could do enough. Like, you know, I personally feel we can be one of the top offense in the league if we just play that one game together as a whole team, you know, offense, defense, special teams. And we actually shock a lot of people, and that's not what we're looking for, because we know what the talent we have in this building. So I think that's probably the cool thing about it.
How much does it change for you, Rashad, if at all, with Geno versus Russ? Russ is a guy we saw over the years. Obviously, he'd keep plays alive. He'd be running all over the place. You know, you'd either be blocking or trying to get open, what have you. So certainly a different approach to the position. But does it change what you do? Does it change your blocking duties, things like that?
Oh, no, not at all, because, you know, we trust Geno to do everything. And again, he's shown that, you know, he has the ability to do it all. And, you know, as far as a running back, you know, it's just the same thing like how Russell was, like Russ was back there. You know, we protect seven now in Geno, so it's no different. And, you know, I just think we're barely scratching the surface. I think we can do a lot of pretty cool things this year as far as the offense and just get it going again. I mean, I think we really are talented, so. And it's just unfortunate games. Like, you know, the last 2 weeks just been unfortunate. You know, you just got to finish out ball games. And, you know, that's something that we're still, like, really working on. We're young. But I know we have a lot of talent to finish games, though.
Well, Rashad, we always appreciate you taking the time to speak with us. Really, really good start to the season. Hopefully we see the ball in your hands a little bit more than we have, and I'm sure that'll happen as the season goes on. But we wish you, of course, nothing but the best and look forward to talking again. Thanks so much.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
There you go. There's Rashad Penny joining us for our Player Spotlight. Truly just a nice guy. And our Seahawks Player Spotlight is presented by Mazda of Everett. That's just that's a guy you root for. I've been critical, and I told him that last time we had him on, that, hey, you know, and he referenced it, you know, just tuning out the outside noise and what people are saying about him on social media and what have you. It's what he should do. He shouldn't care what, you know, a goofball like me thinks about him or somebody on Twitter who's – I still crack up that players – how often have we heard this, that players will talk about people coming up to them, talking about their fantasy team? Why would you do that? If you had a chance to meet a professional football player, especially if you liked him, you looked up to him, and the first words out of your mouth are, oh, man, you screwed me up over fantasy, or you blew my fantasy, or some criticism because it ruined their weekend for fantasy football.
Yeah. Who was it that tweeted out, I don't give a bleep about your fantasy team?
I think that could be a lot of guys. Yeah. I think it's.
Well, I think there's some people that think that would be funny and that would start a conversation. Or there's some people that think that, oh, I have some power over him, even though he's a big shot. I'm putting him in his place, you know, like you're the coach or something. So, yeah, but I think in regards to that, if you internalize it, you know, if you hear the noise and the chirps and all that stuff, don't complain about it. Don't talk about it to the media. Just internalize it.
Use
it. Let it work for you.
Yeah, use it.
Yeah. Use it as your chip on your shoulder. I used to.
Let it be your fuel, Dave.
Yeah, exactly. I had a guy in Denver. I think I told you this. Who was the guy that got his cut off with scissors? His wife.
Remember that? Bobbitt.
Yeah, and he was
his first name. I can't remember.
Yeah, was it Dwayne Bobbitt? No, something like that.
Yeah.
And so yeah, he wrote just randomly. Anybody else notice that Wyman looks like, you know, something Bobbitt? Like, what a jerk. You know what? So yeah,
this was a sports writer.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's
even worse because you kind of expect it from goofballs on Twitter because they're going to say things they're not going to say in person. But
he ended up in Indianapolis.
That's a weird thing to say.
As a columnist for Indianapolis, I thought.
Are you looking it up?
It's one of the many cities that Lufko is from.
One of the many cities he roots for. He's got a rooting interest in.
And yeah, I thought maybe he's a columnist. I think, but yeah. Anyway, I mean, yeah, you get those kinds of things. You just internalize it and make it work for you.
I didn't really want to Google those search terms.
So. No, I'm not. We're not talking about that.
No, we just wanted to see the guy's name. Just his first name.
But in searching the description,
we all know what happened. Yeah. Come on. That's forever ago. I remember her name was Lorena Bobbitt, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
We all remember the perpetrator, but the victim's name, I don't recall his first name. But, yeah, it's not a fun thing to be known for.
Yeah.
I don't think
so. Because he thought I looked like him, which... Nobody. I think I went to my wife. I'm like, do I look like that guy? Like, no, he's just being a jerk. Anyway,
did you ever see him in the locker room after that? Like, so you think you're funny, huh? Was that your shot?
Funny man? You want a piece of me? No, I don't remember him. I think he was one of those guys that didn't come around the locker room, and you know that's why he was, because you know if somebody comes in and shows their face. I remember one time I got into an argument with a guy, and I actually called him a couple names, and then he came up and said, "Come on, man, you know you can't." That's ridiculous. I know this wasn't favorable. And I go, you're right. I'm sorry. I apologize to him. We had a whole thing. So
it's funny that you bring that up because I just had this discussion with a girlfriend last night because she wanted to go to a game, Seahawks game. I'm like, well, I'm up in the press box. And then I go down in the locker room afterwards and go to Pete's press conference, all that. Well, why do you have to do that? I'm like, well, it's not have to. It's kind of a sign of respect. We spend 5 days a week, 4 hours a day talking about these guys, and sometimes we're not saying nice things. Sometimes we're saying, hey, this guy blew it, or this guy's got to play better, or this guy can't do that. Whatever it is, if you're going to be critical of them, you should at least show up. You should at least be down there to answer. And I had that run-in with Albert Pujols in St. Louis when I was there.
That's right.
And to me, it's sort of the respectful thing to do. If I'm going to be out behind the mic saying, hey, this guy can't do that, or this guy didn't do this well, at least need to be down there to answer for it if they've got an issue or if they've even heard it. Most of the time, it's there are people around them saying, hey, so-and-so said this about you. And then it's always completely wrong from what you said. And, you know, in his case, I said, no. What I said was X, Y, and Z, and here's why I said it. Am I being unfair?
Yeah.
And he was totally cool about it. He couldn't have been nicer. He was like, oh, well, the way I heard it was blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no. I got it, the tape. I'll play it for you, man.
Right. And that's, you know, those family members and so-called friends that tell people what, oh, did you hear what they wrote about you? I think a distant friend or somebody I'm not friends with anymore that was like, oh, did you hear what they said about you and this and that? I'm like, you're not a friend if you're doing that.
Do you think they're trying to fire you up like this will help them play better? Or maybe. is it like being the instigator? Like, okay, yeah, like Brock used to do around here. Ooh, you sure heard what Wyman was saying about you this morning. You know, that's Brock's like, he'd give you the look and the smile like, yeah, boy, I don't know what's going on with you and Wyman. He's had some interesting things to say. And then he just got such a kick out of that stuff.
Can I get us back off track? Because we have a lot of helpful texts, but I think they misheard what you were saying. Because we know that guy's name, right? We're looking for the guy who wrote that you looked like John
Bobbitt.
We got a lot of texts.
Well, no, helpful. I was actually wondering what Bobbitt's first name was. I couldn't remember his
John. You wanted to know the guy who wrote about you, too, right? So maybe they can help with that also. Because we're getting a lot of texts with John Bobbitt.
Yeah,
but
I just
now
did,
we need Wyman's guy.
We did ask for that. Or I did, because I couldn't remember. I remembered Lorena Bobbitt. I just couldn't remember the other part of that story, his first name. But, yeah, John.
Well, it's burned in a lot of people's memories, so we got a lot of text in here.
I got it. Bob Kravitz. Bob Kravitz was his name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do know him.
Yeah, I think I've interviewed him before.
He worked for Sports Illustrated.
I feel like I've spoken to him before.
Well, he was the infamous person who got all wrapped up in Deflategate, too.
Oh, is he? Okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Now that's, that sounds a lot more.
And how the whole thing started was he called, I think a bunch of reporters were talking about Shannon Sharpe being soft and he's not this and that. And all the hype.
And then you called him out.
And then, after the game and Sharpe had a great game. And I was like, hey, Shannon, what about all those guys that were saying this, that, and the other about you? And, you know, they were all crowded around his locker because he had some ridiculous, like, 200 yards in receptions or something. Sharpe was such a good tight end, man. He was a great teammate, too. I loved
that. Was a hell of a player.
Loved my time, spending my time with him. You got to meet Steve Atwater the other day.
Yeah, nice guy.
Yeah, he's just, like,
bigger than I thought.
He's huge.
He's
dude.
A big dude.
But some great teammates there in Denver. But I tell you, the fans there and, you know, the columnists, they were tough.
You know who I didn't love is Shannon's brother, Sterling.
Me neither.
Yeah, not a nice guy.
No. I ran into him at a golf tournament and said something about his brother and got crickets.
He's a strange dude, man.
Yeah.
I've told you that we used to do those shows at the Lake Tahoe Celebrity Golf Tournament. And you'd have all these different actors, musicians, tons of athletes, obviously. And he was there and couldn't have been a bigger jerk.
Yeah. that was my experience, too.
To our producer. And not a great guy, his brother.
So. Yeah. It's funny, you know, when you meet people and, you know, every once in a while you hit and you miss. And every once in a while, like, I saw Jack Sikma the other day. Could not have been nicer. He was on that celebrity tournament for Mike Tyson.
Okay.
Jack Sikma and his son Luke was there. Two of the nicest people.
Is his son as tall as he is?
I think he's a little shorter than Jack.
Jack's what, 6'11"?
Yeah.
I think.
He looks great, man. Yeah, super nice guy. So, yeah, it's always a huge pleasure when you meet somebody that you, whatever, idolize.
And conversely, it's a huge bummer when they're like, I used to love watching Sterling Sharpe play. He was a hell of a player. He wasn't like my hero or anything, but I just, you know, you admire somebody, you appreciate how good they are at what they do. And he was one of those guys, and just watching him interact with our producer and some other people, I was like, this guy's a creep.
Yeah.
Same with Warren Sapp. King-sized jerk.
Shannon Sharpe, and it applies to his brother Sterling too, but from what I understood, like, he grew up on dirt floors. I never did, but they would always give him a hard time because he has fake teeth because he never had a dentist, never went to.
Sterling or Shannon?
Shannon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and like when we would, if we'd have like a rocky takeoff or whatever, somebody like Steve Atwater would be like, Sharpie, hold on to your teeth.
So cold. Are they dentures? Or are they permanently
permanent?
Like, he wouldn't take them out in front of you.
No. They were permanent. He's got a big white shiny grill.
Oh, he's got perfect teeth now.
Yeah, but I mean, he grew up. That was the kind of upbringing that he had, man, and just fought his way. And I think he was a free agent or a late round draft choice, but yeah, one of the great NFL players and one of the nicer guys. I really had fun with him. We used to give each other a ton of heat.
Did you ever tell him, hey, I talked to your brother. What's his problem?
No, I didn't meet his brother till after we were playing together.
Okay.
But
okay.
One of the things that Sharp and I used to do is we'd sit in the first couple rows of the bus, and when guys would come on the bus with their suits, because we had to wear suits, we would always criticize. Like Steve Atwater came in with a purple one, and me and Sharpie started singing the I Love You
Barney song.
You know, I remember Carl Mecklenburg had like the corduroy jacket with the patches on the elbow.
Oh, geez.
We were calling him Professor Mecklenburg. And, yeah, I mean, we just bonded that way. Always had a good time. But yeah, he was a good dude. But
Shannon, another guy who was built like an action figure.
Oh my God! Well, like he'd never had a hamburger in his life, or
oh really?
Yeah, he would always eat chicken and just really.
Lean, healthy.
Yeah, absolutely.
You didn't eat any junk food and fast food, and you're over there with your bowl of macaroni and ketchup.
That's exactly right. And I'll tell you what, our physiques showed it.
You guys were a before and after picture.
Yeah.
Right there.
That's right.
So good. One more reminder coming up this week. Again, Mariners with a day off today. Starting tomorrow, the Rangers come to town. So it's September 27th through Thursday, the 29th. Mariners value games happening. That's the Rangers Tuesday through Thursday, 6:40 p.m. First pitch. Final homestand of the regular season begins with three straight Mariner value games. You can get $10 view tickets, $20 main tickets, $30 Terrace Club seats to watch this team on their march toward ending the playoff drought that has lasted for over two decades. So be there. It's going to be great. Tickets available at Mariners.com. Coming up, what can the Seahawks build on from the offensive performance from yesterday? We'll get into that next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports Station.
How much better did the Seahawks look overall to you in this game? I know the defense, we've talked about that. They didn't really take a step in the right direction. But offensively, they had another really good first half. They had a good first half against the Broncos. The Niner game was not good. But it just felt like there was a little bit of rhythm being developed, offensively speaking.
You know, maybe, and one of the guys that's part of that, because I agree with you, maybe we haven't talked about enough, is Colby Parkinson. You know, I never really thought that he... I was doubtful as to whether or not he would be the guy that he is. And again, you know, we fretted over the third receiver because it was Freddie Swain last year, but I mean, I just didn't think it was going to be a wide receiver. I thought it'd be a tight end, and sure enough it is, and it's Colby Parkinson right now as far as yardage goes. But you know, he's been targeted four times and he's caught all four of them. So, you know, it's only 87 yards, but he's got the touchdown and then a couple of big plays plus 20. Then it goes Will Dissly, who has been targeted eight times and has eight catches, and then it goes Noah Fant, who's been targeted 10 times and nine receptions. So just one pass that did not get completed to the tight ends in, what is that, 22 pass attempts. So
21 of 22.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. So
well, we've been,
and two touchdowns.
You and I have been screaming for that for how many seasons now?
Well, since 2020, at
easily.
Least. Because I remember thinking, you got to get Dissly the ball. He's really good. I don't know how dynamic Noah Fant is. He actually surprised one of the corners yesterday by being able to get out to the edge. So maybe he's got more speed than we think. I know he was a super athletic guy. And, you know, I just feel like after he catches the ball, he doesn't necessarily turn into Golden Tate or anything like that. You know, I don't know about, maybe it's just a lack of creativity, but he's good. No, don't get me wrong. I mean, he's definitely good. So, you know, and Dissly has two touchdowns and Colby Parkinson one. So, yeah, they got three touchdowns amongst those guys. And I just think that's working out great. The next leading receiver is Marquise Goodwin. So, you know, I think everybody would like to see Dwayne Eskridge, but I love that they're throwing to the tight ends. And I think that's really helping Geno be a little bit better than what we thought he was going to be.
You brought up D. Eskridge. I keep looking for him. I see him on the field. Yeah. I don't know what his role is. And I actually was talking to a couple different people in the press box, like, just in your opinion, just how does he fit?
what is it he does? And nobody really has a clear picture of what he should be, what he is. I don't understand really what his role is right now with the team. He doesn't appear to really have one.
You know, yesterday, am I wrong about this? Was that the first fly sweep that they've ran? And they ran it to Ken Walker.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, they didn't run it with him.
No. And that's what the reason why I brought it up, because D'Eskridge just seemed like that perfect guy. But Ken Walker sure looked good on that fly sweep. Now, he cut it back and maybe ill-advised on a couple of those, but he got, you know, he knew what he was doing. But I think that might be the first fly sweep that we've seen. And that was something that was always a characteristic of those Ram games when, you know, Waldron was down in L.A. We would see three or four of those, and then all the stuff that comes off of that, you know, because once you stay home, it kind of splits your defense in half. So now, you know, the backside has to really honor that, and then you can work on something on the front side and get, you know, an advantage as far as man-to-man goes, or, you know, outnumbering their defense or their defenders. So yeah, I think that was Ken. I think that was their first fly sweep.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And Ken Walker, you know, he's got tons of speed, and he looked really good in the timing of it and everything.
He's had a change. He's had a nice change of direction yesterday. Yeah. He looks like he's got. Pete said something that I didn't notice, and maybe you did, in the post game press conference yesterday, and because somebody had asked him about, you know, the running game and Ken Walker. He said something about, well, he ran the wrong way once, so we got to get that cleaned up or something. Mm-hmm. I don't recall seeing something that looked that obvious. I'd have to go back and watch it. But there's one where he's running hard to the right and just planted and cut to the left, and it ended up being a pretty good gain. He just seems like he's a pretty shifty dude. And I look forward to just seeing him getting more and more comfortable and becoming incorporated more.
You know, I wonder if he was talking about that play. Because when he cut it back, that fly sweep, he went backwards. And
maybe that's what he was talking
about. He was talking about. You know who had a run like that back in 2018 was Rashad Penny. And it was in either a Thursday night game or a Monday night game against the Packers, where he started front side and he went all the way back. And you're like, oh, no, don't do that. Oh, okay, that's really good. That's really good. He ended up twisting his ankle. But, you know, he did. He was trying to make a move, and all of a sudden his ankle just gave out. So, you know, I feel like once a player does that, and for Ken Walker, a rookie, I think he maybe found out something there with that run, like the confidence that gives you, or knowing, okay, I can make a play in this league. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, maybe that'll help his confidence going forward. I saw him slip one time on a cutback. So, you know, he's still got to get his feet underneath him. But he looked really good, and I'm wondering if maybe he becomes that guy, because D'Eskridge, I haven't really seen what, you know, what his role is in this offense.
It just seems like he's out. I thought at minimum maybe they'd have him returning punts or kicks or something, but we've seen obviously DJ Dallas back there. We saw Tyler back there. Why would you put Tyler back there? And this isn't worrying about him being hurt.
Yeah.
If you've got somebody who's got that explosive speed and he's not being used otherwise in really any other situation, why wouldn't you have maybe he doesn't have great hands, fielding, but I have no idea.
That would probably be it.
But I would think as a receiver, shouldn't you have good hands? Shouldn't that be part of the deal?
Well, I think it's a little bit different, because the punt return is about timing, and really more than anything, it's about discretion. You know, like, first of all, can you field? That's what Pete wants. The punters are timing it up so well now that the headhunters are getting there right at the right time. So you don't get that many opportunities. But then the other thing is he just wants them to safely catch the ball. He wants a good catcher, Bob.
Yeah, good catcher of the ball.
Yes.
It's like a good throwing arm.
Good catcher.
Yeah. A couple of people texting in about a specific play. For some reason, I don't really remember it, but Jen and Beaverton and the 206 saying Gino turned around. It might have been in the second quarter, and nobody was there.
Oh, yeah. There was one.
And Gino had to eat it.
Yep, and he had to eat it. Yep, that's exactly right.
So that must be the one Pete was referring to.
Yes, and that was his fault. He went to the wrong side.
Yeah, and then
that's right.
Fred in Birch Bay says, Eskridge will be just fine. Patience. Okay.
All right.
Well, I'd like to see him targeted at some point, and just being part of the game plan if he's going to be that. And he was sort of propped up, and this isn't his fault by any stretch, but people talking about him being used in a way that Tyreek Hill was, that he's this kind of everything guy. He could be that fly sweep, jet sweep guy. He could be that guy who's, once he gets his hands on the ball, look out, he's going to be a problem type. And just injuries have gotten in the way, certainly, both, you know, his rookie year last year and this season to start. But he's healthy now, as far as I'm aware, and he's out there on the field at times, but I'm just trying to figure out what his role is, and maybe they're still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, maybe they're just not opportunities of, you know, getting him in the game just because of the way the game goes and stuff like that. Maybe, you know, 3, 4, or 5 weeks in, we see a game where he flashes. That would be nice. But I think he's a really good football player. At Western Michigan, he got, as you mentioned, off to a tough start. The concussion, he had the foot thing. I think there was something else where Pete said that he's stacking up a number of plays that we haven't seen him.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a creative way of saying he hasn't been available.
Yeah, but 5'9", 190 pounds. I liked what I saw at Western Michigan, and then a couple of the plays that we've seen from him, like in the preseason and whatnot. But yeah, I don't feel like if he doesn't develop and doesn't become a superstar or anything, I don't think they really need him right now. I mean,
it's more of a curiosity. We talked about it in preseason. Just like, all right, who are you looking forward to seeing? Not because you think they're great or they're bad, just who are you curious about? And he was my guy. I'm curious about.
Curious, yeah.
What is he? What is he going to be for this team? Is he going to be a returner? Is he going to be a great receiver? Maybe they're going to run him out of the back. It seemed like there were all these possibilities attached to him when he was drafted. And then injuries became the story, and he's healthy now, but isn't really a part of anything. So I'm just trying to figure out his role, and maybe he just never develops one. Maybe it just doesn't happen.
Yeah. Maybe you should just go up to him and say, so what's your deal?
I'll just go, so what do you do here?
What would you say it is you do here?
All right, coming up, how do the Seahawks fix their issues when it comes to stopping the run? We're going to get into that next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.
This is Seattle Sports Station.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob, brought to you by Angel of the Winds Casino Resort.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Stopping the run has been a bit of an issue for this team, Dave. I sent you the numbers last night, if you didn't know them, but against the in terms of what was allowed, they allowed 179 rushing yards against the Falcons.
Ouch.
They allowed 189 to the 49ers, and then a paltry 103 to the Broncos.
That was a win.
Yeah. So.
And it was a win.
Yeah.
They've given up 157 yards a game.
And they've allowed at least 10 plays of at least 18 yards in yesterday's game, starting with a 40-yarder, a 30-yarder. They gave up a 3rd and 19. I mean, just.
And most of those were runs, right?
There were a couple of passes. I mean, they mixed it up. As Nwosu said after the game, and Diggs is like, they did whatever they wanted. Mm-hmm. And then you look at it. So you're just focusing on the run, though. Pete Carroll, along with Brock and Salk, talking about this, and they were asking him, who's most responsible for stopping the run?
Combination. I mean, it's everybody. It is. It's the guys up front play their blocks. They get off their blocks and make their plays. But it's really It's the relative spacing that's created in the running game. You know, guys staying connected to each other, and that's what we have to be better at, and we have to put our guys in the best situation so that they can be successful. And so it's a really clear focus, and we got to get that knocked out.
Yeah, you know, Pete was talking earlier, we heard in the conference earlier, but yeah, he...
For people that didn't hear that, they're going, what in the hell's going on?
Well, yeah, it was... Yeah, it was sort of, what do you call that? What's the technical jargon for when it's cutting out like that?
It's not, choppy?
The stream was a little disjointed. Yeah. It was clipping a bit.
He talked about gaps and one gap and, you know, two gap. And so, you know, those can mean different things. I'm sure there's lots of people out there that are experts at it and everything. But, you know, a two gap is typically, like for a defensive lineman, you're head up on that guy. And you're going to take both sides of him you're responsible for. So if he runs to your right, you have to be there. If he runs to your left. So it's just a head up, take him on, and I'm two gapping. Instead of, you know, if it's one gap, you just sort of shoot in that gap.
You'd be in between the center and the guard.
Center and the guard, exactly, and try to hold your ground. So, and then there used to be, I remember having gaps where my primary gap was the front side C gap, but if it went the other way, you know, it was the backside A gap or whatever. So you're kind of responsible based on flow.
Okay.
And then, you know, that's kind of hard to do because sometimes what they do is they bend a play where, you know, it's like the one with the cutback that they had yesterday was the 40-yard run with Patterson. I mean, he starts to the left.
Is that the one Nwosu?
Yeah. And he bends it himself all the way back.
Messed up.
Yeah, he went way too far upfield. So, yeah. So I mean, there's you got to read your blocks, but also, you know, you kind of have to see what's going on in the backfield. And there's lots of challenges, I think, in this running game because the 3-4, like a lot of teams are putting in two tight ends and a running back. And then so the Seahawks put their nickel package in. Well, they take out a defensive lineman. So now there's two guys inside. They're D-tackles, big guys. There's two outside backers. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the rest are, you
know. Defensive backs.
Yeah, DBs. And, well, you got your four linebackers, I should say.
Right.
But, yeah.
You got two outside and then the
two inside. Yeah. And then you got your five DBs. And so, you know, and I think Kobe Bryant is doing a pretty decent job, but I think he's also kind of new to playing up there. He's played on the outside mostly. So, yeah, that you just kind of get overmatched. And but, boy, one of them, you know, and I got to take a look at it from, you know, whenever the stupid NFL Rewind decides to release the All 22. But it looks like a couple of the plays, like just by the way they're aligned, You lose right from the beginning.
Right before the ball snapped.
Before the ball snapped, just well, because of your alignment.
And Pete was asked after the game if he thought some of the issues were due to the new scheme. And here's what he said to that.
Some of it is. Some of it's, I said to you last week, it's newness. You know, we have to clean things up and we got to progress faster. You know, there's no time. You know, we have to get better now. And we just have to just make sure that we're more accurate, more precise about the fits in the running game, and then continue to work into the pressure situations. We rushed the passer, we had our sacks today, you know, and we did it with some different calls, and those worked really well for us. We need to continue to get our rush going as well. That's part of it. I mean, it's all aspects. There was some throws that they caught. There was some pass rush stuff we could use, and for sure the running game needs to improve. We just need to get better, and we can see it. We know the answers. We can give them answers to the test, but we got to execute better.
So pretty much everything. You know, and
but he said, well, you were talking about the run fits. Is that what you were talking about?
Yeah. Well, and just, originally I was talking about the alignment that you got to line up. So, you know, like last week we talked about how if there's a guy right there that's going to pin you, you got to be aware of him so that you're able to get outside. I was asked to compare this defense or this team to another team. And I compared them to 1988. We ran a 3-4 defense. Mm-hmm. I got my name in the paper in USA Today for having 20 tackles. And all my friends were like, wow, what an awesome game you had. I was like, it's the worst game I've ever had. Yeah. It was the 49ers, and they put up 580 yards on us. And there was lots of tackles to be had, Bob.
Yeah.
And they were like 6, 7, 8 yards downfield. So, you know, that I think the 3-4 is just a little bit more difficult to adjust to. Really a battler inside. Mm-hmm. He is hard to block, man. And then, you know, I think Nwosu is a really good player. Daryl Taylor can be. You know, Cody's struggled. He has not gotten off blocks very well.
How's Brooks played?
I thought Brooks played pretty well yesterday. He had an open field tackle on Mariota, which wasn't he didn't blow him up or anything, but he kind of, I think Mariota kind of slipped. He tried to cut back on him. He had a couple of those. But I'd say mostly for those guys, they're not making tackles coming downhill. They're not getting off blocks. And I don't know if that's the scheme or what they're reading or whatever. I know both those guys have the ability to do that, but they haven't really done that. But there was a couple of nice tackles by Jordan Brooks in the open field. So, and that's always the toughest part. So, yeah, I mean, I think that there needs to be a pretty marked difference between what happened last week and what happens this next coming week. Because if it's the same thing where guys are not getting lined up right and not, you know, squeezing gaps and taking care of the perimeter, then I don't know what you do. I don't know. Do you bench guys or, I mean, it's not that hard.
if it's that remedial in the football world, a very basic thing and they're not picking it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what is somebody's going to do worse? I mean, so
yeah,
it's already a liability right now. So I would say if it's a continuing problem, nobody should be safe.
Yeah, and look at you know, all of those runs you talked about. What was it, 174 that they ran for yesterday, or 179? Yeah, make it worse, Bob. I was trying to make it less by 5 yards.
Well, it was better than the week before against the 49ers when they gave up 189.
Oh, man, but. Yeah, I mean, almost all of those were on the outside, and almost all of them were because what happened on the perimeter, somebody not doing their job correctly.
All right, coming up, we're going to catch up with our guy Ryan Roland Smith in the midst of his world tour. He'll take a break to talk to us about Mariner baseball. Coming up next with Wyman and Bob, this is Seattle Sports Station on 710.